The third of the Psalms, Psalm 3, is the first of the Psalms which is specifically attributed to David, that great psalmist, that great writer of many of these Psalms. It opens a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. This psalm is divided into three sections, each ending with that pause, Selah. Verses 1 and 2, where David cries out to his God because of the multitude of his enemies. And verses 3 and 4, where he rejoices in his God as a shield. And he declares that when he cried unto God, the Lord heard him. Great declaration of his faith in his God. And then verses 5 to 8, where David speaks of laying down and sleeping, awaking, and then seeing the salvation that God has wrought in smiting all his enemies. And he concludes with that great cry, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Three clear divisions. And a psalm which David was moved to write at a time in his life of great personal tragedy, when his own son had risen up against him and he fled. And when many were his enemies. And when he knew what it was like to be alone and to be hated and to have no help from man and to be cast upon his God alone. But when he knew in such a state that he needed no help from man, and that to have God alone as his help was to have the greatest of help, was to know a sure and a certain salvation. Great was David's faith in his God, and greatly rewarded was that faith. For his God was mighty in battle. His God wrought a wondrous victory. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. David knew this. He knew this in experience. He wrote this psalm not in his study, as it were, not as something which was theoretical, but this flowed forth as the words of a man who knew what it was to be hated, who knew what it was to be cast out, who knew what it was to suffer, who knew what tragedy and crisis were, and knew what faith in God meant. He was thrown upon his God. He had no one else to go to. And he knew what it was to have that faith rewarded, to have that trust, to have that knowledge of a sovereign God who saves to the uttermost. Now these cries of David, both for help and of trust and of victory, are cries which many of the Lord's people will enter into at some point or other. You and I may be brought to cry out unto God, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. At times we may be brought to that state. And we may know the same experience that David knew. And we, by God's grace, may be brought to cry out by faith, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. We may cry unto the Lord with our voice, and may know that he has heard us out of his holy hill. And we may know the victory of a God who awakes us, a God who is with us when we sleep, a God who lifts us up, a God who will go against 10,000s of our enemies and smite them and take them away, a God who is our salvation, a God whose blessing is upon us. We may know that. We may be brought to know that. Do you know it? Can you say out of your experience, salvation belongeth unto the Lord? He's heard me. I've cried unto him. I've cried unto him in desperate straits when many rise up and persecute me and hate me and despise me for my faith in Christ. I've cried unto him and he's helped me and heard me and sustained me. Have you that faith that David had? Well, if you have, you will have it for the very same reason that David had it. Because David knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps as one that lived before his coming, not by name in that sense, but he knew Christ. He looked by faith down through the ages to the coming of Messiah, the coming of the Lord's anointed, the coming of the Son of God. He knew that God was his salvation, and he knew that his Messiah, his Saviour, would deliver him. He knew that his sins would be washed away. He would be delivered not just from his physical enemies in this world, but he'd be delivered from those enemies that would destroy his soul. He'd be delivered from his own sin, his own corruption. He'd be delivered from the condemnation of the law. He'd be delivered from the attacks of the evil one, the devil and Satan. He'd be delivered from all that kept him away from God, from all his enemies. He'd be delivered from his sins, forgiven, washed clean, made to be righteous. He knew that deliverance was in God alone. Salvation was in God alone. And he knew that that was because of God's Son, his Saviour, his Deliverer. He looked unto him. And if you know David's experience and you have David's faith, it's because you look unto Christ alone. And you know the hope and the faith and the trust that you have in Christ. And you know the reward of that and the great victory that Christ has wrought. Because the reason that God goes forth to destroy 10,000s of people and smites all David's enemies is because they are Christ's enemies. And any who raises up their voice against the Lord Jesus Christ and despises and hates him sets himself against Almighty God. When men raise up their voice against you, believer, when they rose up against David, it's not you that they hate and it's not David that they hated. It's Christ. And when man raises up his fist and his voice against God's anointed, God the Father is jealous for him. He will avenge his anointed. He will defend him. He will destroy his enemies. He will save him. Yes, it's Christ that David looked unto. It's Christ that you and I must look unto. And ultimately, as with all the Psalms, as with the other two Psalms we've looked at recently, as with the whole book of Psalms, ultimately this Psalm is the cry, not so much of David, not so much of you and I, but the cry of the Son of God. It's Christ who cries out, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. It's Christ who says that the Lord is his shield, his glory, the lifter up of his head. It's Christ who cries unto his Father with his voice, and the Father heard him out of his holy hill. It's Christ who laid himself down and slept, and then awaked, for the Lord sustained him. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. It's Christ who would not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against him round about. It's Christ who cries out in victory and faith, Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. It's Christ who cries out, Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Oh, what a salvation. Oh, what faith. Oh, what victory. If you're brought into such trouble as David was brought in here to cry out unto God, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? It's trouble that Christ has been in before you. And however many hate you, it's not as many as hated Christ. And however many hate you, they hate you because of Christ. But when we're in trouble, when we're persecuted, when we're hated, what hope there is in this psalm, what hope there is in the gospel, because of the one who's gone before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. The one who's gone before us. The one who's gone into the grave before us. The one who's gone through the waters of death before us. The one who's been despised and rejected and hated of all men before us. The one who was cast out by all men before they cast out us. The one who suffered before ever we suffered. The one who awaked before we awake. The one who rose again victorious before ever we rose in him victorious. The one who cried out, Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, that we might cry out, Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing is upon thy people. Oh, what a picture of the gospel there is in this psalm. And oh, what hope and comfort for the child of God to look into this psalm and to look into the sufferings of their Saviour and to look into the victory of their Saviour's salvation. What he accomplished when he laid down his life. What he accomplished when he laid down and slept, that they in him might rise again. What hope there is. Things could hardly have got worse for David when he penned this psalm. And no matter how bad things might get for you, child of God, No matter what trouble you may be brought into one day. No matter what trouble you may be in this day. It will never be as great as the Saviour's trouble. It will never be as great as the Saviour's suffering. And yet, even out of the depths, the very depths into which he was cast, the very depths of the pit into which he fell, the very depths of death which he plummeted in, even cast out of God because of the sins which he bore and the sin which he was made to be, he arose. He returned. He came back from the battlefield, back from the warfare, back from the killing fields, back from the slaughter. He returned, as it were, as a knight riding upon a horse, a mighty conqueror. He returned victorious. And whatever sufferings and trials you will go through, you in Christ will be victorious. He will, as it were, come riding past you in your dire straits, desperate. And he will pick you up upon his steed. He will pick you up upon his horse. And he will carry you forth to victory. There is no suffering that you can be brought to pass through which can be likened unto his suffering. Whose suffering is like unto my suffering? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? He went where no man could go. He suffered like no other man could suffer. He felt pain like no man or woman could ever feel pain. And he felt it to deliver his people from their sins. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many. Do you feel that there are many that trouble you? Do you feel like enemies multiply? Do you feel alone at times? Well, you will never have as many enemies and as much trouble as the Lord Jesus had. For all men rejected him. He came unto his own. The Jews, the very ones who should have received him, the very ones who should have known him, the very ones who should have loved him, and they rejected him. They handed him over to the Romans to be crucified, and the Romans crucified him. And all men and women walked past the cross when he was nailed unto it, and scoffed and mocked. Even his disciples held their tongue when he needed them. Even they were scattered in his hour of need. All men rejected him. And though there are those throughout history who are brought to love him, though he has a people, though you may be brought to love him, there is a time in all of our hearts when we have hated and rejected him. All men have hated him. You were born hating him. You were born rejecting him. You were born despising him. Don't go to your grave doing the same. Don't go to your grave continuing to hate him. For if you do, you will be amongst those people, his enemies, whom he will smite upon the cheekbone, whose teeth he will break, whose destruction will be everlasting. Oh, you may be born telling lies. You may be born hating God. But don't go to your grave in the same state. How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Oh, how man mocks. Oh, how we mock the Saviour. Oh, how when they nailed him to that tree and lifted him up, how pitiful they considered him to be. How weak they thought he was. Oh, we'd silenced him then. This one who said he was the Son of God. This one who came doing miracles. This one who came preaching a message which man does not like. Oh, he was in a place of weakness then. Oh, they mocked and they scorned and they taunted him and said to call a legion of angels down to help him, to prove that he was God. And when he didn't, oh, how they laughed and said it's because he can't. When in reality it was because he wouldn't. He could, but he couldn't if he was going to suffer God's wrath against the sin of his people and deliver them from their sins. He could have escaped at any moment should he wish, but he didn't come to escape. He didn't come to take an easy path. He didn't come to escape this hard way. He came to save his people from their sins. He came to enter the battle. He didn't come to escape the battle. He came to enter the battle. He came to defeat his enemies. He came to defeat his foes. He came to defeat the enemies and the foes of his people. He came to conquer sin. He came to conquer death. He came to deliver his people, for salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. What a lie. There was every help for him in God. And there was every help for David in God. And child of God, there is every help for you in God. No matter what the hour might seem to be, no matter how desperate the state might seem to be, Christ hung on the cross in darkness. The wrath of God poured down as fires upon his head. His Father turned his face away from him. The world was dark and every voice was raised against him. And he suffered for hours upon the cross. And yet there was every help for him in God. I laid me down and slept. I died. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. There was every help for him in God. Every help. Selah. How did he know? Because of the faith of Jesus Christ. Because of that wondrous faith which he had in his Father. That wondrous trust, that wondrous hope. He knew his God would hear him, even in the hardest hour, even in the darkest hour. He knew his God would hear him. And David had that same faith given to him of God, given to him by Jesus Christ. David had the faith of Jesus Christ, and with that faith, he cried unto the Lord with his voice. And the Lord heard him out of his holy hill. And Christ cried unto the Father with his voice, and God heard him out of his holy hill. Christ by faith could look up unto God and say, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. He knew. Even though the storms were around him, even though his God sent the storms upon him, even though he was bearing the sins of his people and God was judging him for those sins, he knew that his God, his Father, was his shield. He knew that his God, his Father, was his glory and the lifter up of his head. He knew his Father would deliver him. He knew that in the end all that was promised would be done. He knew that his suffering would not be in vain. He knew that this suffering was not in vain. He knew the sovereign will of God. He knew that God ruled. And he knew that this was a pathway he must follow. He knew that when he laid down his life, he would rise again. He would take away the sins of his people. He would blot them out. He would deliver them. He knew. And David knew. David knew. Though Absalom sought his life, though many were his enemies, though he was in desperate straits, he knew that his God was a shield. Even though it may have felt that the hand of God himself had gone out against him. Because David believed that God was sovereign. David believed that God was all powerful. David knew that God could save him at any moment. And yet here he was, and everyone was against him, and death awaited him. Why was God putting him through these things? Because he knew that God's purpose would be brought to pass. However low he must sink, he knew that in the end all things work together for the good of those who are called. All things. He knew that there were bad things he must enter into, that there were trials, that there were difficulties. He knew that he must walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and yet the Lord would be near him. And yet the Lord would be his shield, and yet the Lord would be his glory, and yet the Lord would lift up his head, even in the darkest hour. And he didn't turn around to God and curse God that he was brought to this place. Like Job of old, when Job was brought to suffer unimaginable sufferings, the loss of almost all his family, the loss of all his wealth and the loss of his health and the hatred and despising of those around him. When Job was brought into terrible suffering, Job didn't turn around and curse God, even though there were others, even though his wife taunted him too. Even though others said, look where God has placed you, there's no help for you from God. He's brought this upon you, why do you trust in him? Job said, no, even should he slay me, yet will I trust him. And David said, no, even if the Lord slays me, I will trust him. For I know that when I lay me down and sleep, or when I lay down and die, I will awake. For the Lord is my shield, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. And believer, should you be brought in such a state that all enemies are risen up against you and you feel like you're even brought to the point of death, and you know that God is sovereign and you know his hand is upon you, do you have that faith that says, this is of the Lord, blessed be his name? Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. He is my shield, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. For this is the cry and the faith of Christ in his darkest hour. As he died, he trusted in the Father. He wasn't just on the brink of death. He wasn't just at the point of fear in death. He wasn't just in desperate straits of suffering through great illness. But Christ was nailed to a cross and suffered unto death and trusted his God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. So we see the great calamity in the first two verses, Selah. We see the wondrous faith of the Lord's servant in the next two verses. Selah. Pause, consider, take it in. And then in the latter half of the psalm, from verse 5 through to verse 8, we see the salvation of the Lord. We see the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. How did the Lord accomplish salvation? And by what means did his blessing come upon his people? How did God bless David in the end? How did God cause Job from the depths of his suffering to be raised up to a place, a position greater than he was in the beginning? How did God deliver Job? How did he deliver David? And how does he deliver his people? Child of God, how has he delivered you? Through the one who laid himself down and slept. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. David writing in this crisis in his life was in a position where everyone hated him, where he fled, and he, as it were, went to a place where he laid down his head and he knew not whether he'd see the morning again. He knew not whether someone would come and take his life. He knew not what a day awaited, what a day should bring. And when he slept, it was like he went into the darkness of death. And then he awoke and he saw how the Lord had sustained him. Every day he laid down his head to sleep was, as it were, entering death. And every morning when he awoke again and the hand of his enemy had been kept away and the Lord had watched over him, was a day in which he could cry out, the Lord has sustained me. He knew on a daily basis the salvation of the Lord. Paul, later on, the Apostle Paul writes of these things, where he speaks of his experience as an apostle, as a preacher of the gospel, of how every day he knew persecution, every day he knew suffering, every day he knew the hatred of man, and every day for the sake of the children of God, for the sake of the elect, the church, he said that he, as it were, dies daily, that they should live. Every day he was feeling like he was being crucified, feeling like he was being slain, feeling like he was giving himself for others. Every day he knew what it was to die and to be lifted up in resurrection power. Every day he knew what it was for the flesh to be reckoned dead through the death of Jesus Christ, and for the Spirit to raise him up in newness of everlasting life. Every day there is for the believer this experience of death and resurrection, death and resurrection. We reckon ourselves dead in the old man, crucified, slain. I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ the Son of God liveth in me. Death and resurrection. And we have that experience, we have that knowledge, we have that faith because of the one who went before us, who truly died that we might live. The one who could say from his own experience, I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Christ went to the cross. And in those hours of darkness he suffered. And at the end he'd taken away the sins of all his people. And he looked up to his Father and said, "It is finished," and cried with a great voice and gave up the ghost. Verse 4, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept." Christ, as it were, having accomplished the salvation of his people, looked up unto his Father in glory and cried out with his voice. He cried out with a great voice. He cried out, "It is finished. It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. He laid himself down. He laid himself down and slept. It is finished. And he died. And he was laid in the grave. And on the third day, the women came to the tomb and found him not there, because he had risen. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Oh, have you looked to Christ upon the cross, as he laid down his life for sinners such as you and I? Oh, have you looked at the grave in which the crucified Saviour was laying, in which he slept? Oh, have you seen that Saviour is risen again? He awoke, for salvation was accomplished. It is finished. For the sins of his people had all been judged, every one. For sin had been taken away and righteousness had been brought in by the faith of Jesus Christ. Oh, have you looked? Have you beheld that in his death he destroyed all his enemies and all the enemies of all his people throughout all time? I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Oh, have you seen it? Have you beheld him? Do you behold him? Where are you looking this day? Has he given you that faith? In whatever state you're in, whatever circumstance you're in, whatever tragedy you're in, whatever suffering you're in, this day, tomorrow, this week, in whatever state you're in, has he given you that faith to look out from yourself and out from the circumstances and away from those that cry against you, and to look up unto your God, who hears your voice, who is your shield, your glory, the lifter up of your head, and to look up and see a Saviour who laid himself down and slept to deliver you, and awoke victorious, having accomplished salvation forevermore, who brought in the righteousness of God for his people through his death, that wondrous act of his faith. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Have you seen? Have you seen? Where are you looking? All these psalms will point you to this Saviour. What a wondrous collection they are. For in whatever state you're in, you will find comfort and hope within them. You'll come to these psalms, like these first few, like Psalm 3 and Psalm 4, and you'll come to them in desperate state, in a desperate state, you'll come to them feeling like you need help, feeling your poverty, feeling your weakness, feeling like you're sinking, feeling like you cannot stand, feeling like you are losing. And you'll relate to the cry of David. You'll relate to the cry of the psalmist and say, "That's me. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." You'll feel like they're right. You'll feel like you're sinking. You'll feel like God is away from you, and you'll cry. But you'll come to the psalm and see this cry and say, "There's someone suffering like me." And then as you read on, you will realize by faith that this isn't just the words of a man, not just the words of David. This is the words of the Saviour. And he sunk deeper than you're ever sinking. He suffered greater than you're ever suffering. And his faith rose up to the heavens, like an eagle flying upwards to his father, crying with his voice to the one who hears him. And he laid down his head, and he laid down and slept, and he awaked. Oh, his faith, oh, his victory. And you'll see and behold by faith this Saviour who's accomplished salvation for you. And you'll be lifted up with him, lifted up on the wings of faith, lifted up on the wings of the eagle to soar upwards. No longer will your arms be weary, no longer will your knees be weary, but you will run, and you will run that race looking unto Jesus and crying out with him, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." Have you seen him? Do you know him? Have you seen the one who said, "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." Amen.